Numbers and Tech Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. Numbers and Tech Podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Hi, and welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the next Numbers and Tech Podcast. I am very excited to start off by saying today's podcast is sponsored by Intuit Accountants. If you follow along on our Instagram account over the past few weeks, I've personally been sharing my experiences using Intuit products and how it has shaped my career and helped my clients, especially over the past 18 months. So today's guest is Jason Stein. Jason is a tax and accounting education leader at Intuit. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are very excited to have you with us. And I think you've been in the tax and accounting industry for over 20 years, and you're responsible for driving training and education strategy. Is that like a correct little intro assumption?
Yeah, that's perfect. And, you know, while my focus is often on helping tax and accounting pros serve their clients better, there's a lot that a lot of opportunity to help, small business owners and families also understand how to best leverage what their accountants bring to the table and the importance of working with one. Really, my focus is on, we have, our mission statement into it is to power prosperity around the world. And it's why all 10,000 of us get up every day and get out there and try to help people succeed in whatever that looks like for them.
Yeah, I feel like oftentimes when I have consultations with new clients, whether they be entrepreneurs or small business owners, I often hear, I know I need help, but I'm not even sure which questions to ask. They have a couple questions, but it's so much more. The accounting field has just blown up because technology has expanded exponentially over the last, especially the last decade, but really over the last 20 and 30 years. I often say, I'm not your father or your grandfather's accountant. The role of accountants has really expanded. And I think Intuit's been at the forefront of that progression.
Well, and you know what's funny too, Melissa, is it's not new, right? I've been talking about advisory for 20 years. But what's happening is it's finally taking hold. People are finally realizing what accountants bring to the table, and technology is finally enabling the accountants to, one, free up capacity and get away from like this drudgery of tax season, right?
Good
and just
point.
Automate
right.
A lot of that, but also to enable them to be able to better advise their clients through data insights and education.
Good point. And yeah, I think with that automation, it's definitely freed up my time. I know I typically use QuickBooks, whether desktop or online or enterprise, and that software is constantly coming up with ways of automating the day-to-day tasks that then frees up time for me to work with others on understanding what those numbers even mean. And I mentioned that accountants and business owners have experienced in the last year has just been the challenges have been unprecedented. And so we've had to come out stronger from this, and we can't just focus on counting the beans. We have to take the financial numbers a step further and meet the challenges of our time head on and fast. So I've seen Intuit put together reporting for PPP application, EIDL applications, cash flow reporting. And it used to be that information was always in the software, but now you just click a button on a report and it's there. And that has been, life-changing for many small business owners to be able to get that information and get those government programs or get those reports to make better decisions right away. And I think that Intuit has provided a lot of training for both the business owner and the accountant on how to use those adaptations. And so in your role, kind of how do you, what's your role as far as training with Intuit?
Right. So yeah. What my focus is really enabling accountants and helping them get their arms around how do I go about, because one of the big things that business owners struggle with, I'll come back to your question around
sure,
that way,
yeah.
Melissa. One of the things that businesses especially struggle with is you're running a plumbing business, you're running an electrician business, or whatever you may be doing, you're selling widgets, you're running a food truck. You are busy doing that work, and you have to, have books clean, especially if you want to get funded for a loan or something, which we saw with PPP as the pandemic hit. And we were like, oh geez, we need to get everything together. It was a big scramble. Accountants across the nation, across the world were exhausted through the pandemic.
Yeah, you need clean books now, immediately, right?
Right. Well, what it did was it finally opened the doors. It finally made everybody realize, oh, wow, my accountant doesn't just do my tax return. They can help me with so much more. And where accountants struggle is, trying to help their clients get there through the right process and the right, pricing structure and how to actually communicate to people, hey, I can be here as an advisor for you way beyond the work that we're doing today. Because traditionally, accountants, for the last, 100 years, 200, several hundred years, the whole job has been do a tax return, keep the books clean, hand off some compilation reports, which is basically like your balance sheet and your profit and loss. I don't know about you, but when I go talk to business owners that are, doing kind of the jobs that I mentioned earlier, they don't know how to read a profit and loss statement. They don't know how to read a balance sheet. They need a conversation. And it all starts with, what are your dreams and goals? What do you want to accomplish? What is the impact that you want to make? And then let's build a strategy and a plan around that. And it doesn't have to be overly rigorous, just something that's captured that puts you on the path and then staying in touch and navigating that all throughout. And that includes crisis management, where a lot of us were having to pivot business models in the middle of the pandemic. And by the way, that's enduring now. So, and there's some stories about, businesses that were already dabbling in these spaces to be able to operate in this new world fared far better during the pandemic than those that had to pivot in the middle of it when they were being faced with the crisis. Even big businesses, like I have a story that I tell about comparing Pizza Hut with California Pizza Kitchen, similar businesses, but CPK was filing bankruptcy during the pandemic where Pizza Hut was posting record quarters. And so there's so much opportunity here, and accountants are like the doctors, right? They see all these kinds of businesses all the time, and they're cultivating these these experiences and learnings from them, along with the data that they have about the financial health, they can easily compare and take this sort of bird's eye view to help the businesses move forward and achieve whatever it is that success looks like to them. And so that's where education comes in, is helping accountants take all of that and then put it into a framework to work with clients around, so that the end goal is ultimately achieved, which is small business success.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on one of my favorite questions to ask any client is, what are your dreams and goals? And it's kind of sad. I don't think most people have had their accountant ever ask them that question. They just think, once again, okay, you're going to put my numbers in the right categories, and then I'm going to be able to do my taxes, and then we shuffle that away until next year when I have to cross that hurdle. But asking them what are their dreams and goals is just so eye-opening for me as an accounting professional, because then we can start analyzing and reviewing those numbers in a way that really makes an effect on their life and their family's lives.
Exactly right. And I would just double echo the point that you just made about many businesses don't think to ask that question. Many accountants don't think to ask that question, but also many businesses don't think that that's what their accountant is for. And so they don't think to volunteer that information either. And so I would advise all the listeners out here, those of you running businesses, you know, get yourself connected with an accountant, and be sure that you're having a conversation with them beyond, you know, just filing reports, because that's, they provide so much more value than that.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best outcomes of increased advisory services is that you begin to foster relationships with clients to allow for more forward-thinking mindsets beyond just, you know, that normal money conversation. And so it's important to help clients plan for the future beyond the next tax season. And that could be budgeting, forecasting, cash flow planning, whatever it is.
Well, and it could be technology too. That's one thing that I'm seeing a lot more accountants jumping on the ship of providing tech advisory and tech stack consulting. And that's really important, because small businesses are actually, they tend to be further along than the accountant industry at large when it comes to technology. And that's one of the other things that, of course, we're focused on teaching accountants, is how to take advantage of the technology and making them aware of what's available out there, you know, beyond Intuit solutions for that matter. Mm-hmm. But also for businesses, you know, they'll tell us that they put a premium on the implementation of digital technology, cloud-based especially, and how the payoff for that is instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days or at maximum 3 months, what people report to us, they see a positive impact to their bottom line as a direct correlation to a technology solution that they've implemented. And what's also interesting is, while they put a premium on it, they don't hire for technology, they hire for cultural fit within the company, whether it's accountants or any business. That's how you should approach it. And what's great is, what business owners report to us is, they don't hire, they're doing that right. They're hiring for, I need the right person who I can trust, and I'll teach them the technology. And if that's the way you're thinking about talent, you're thinking about it the right way. Keep going.
And you touched on a point of cloud-based. I know for me, it's been career-changing, having formerly been going into the office, sitting in your cube or in your office behind that desktop computer from 9 to 5 and doing work, to now working from wherever, because I predominantly use QuickBooks Online, which is cloud-based. So for my own business as an accounting firm, and then also for my clients that use it, they can be anywhere in the world as long as they have an internet connection. I just spent the month of September in 2 European countries, and there wasn't a breakdown in communication at all with my clients because of the fact that everything was cloud-based.
And in fact, I would argue that it's stronger. It's easier even to build relationships in this new world, because everyone, the entire world, has learned how to do this. Mm-hmm. We've been forced to over the last year and a half, 2 years, right? And so this opens up so many possibilities, because if you think about the efficiencies that you can gain just by having meetings going from face-to-face meetings to Zoom meetings, mm-hmm. right? You can have more conversations, but you're also, the setting is different. The tone of a conversation in a cafeteria or a Starbucks or a whatever, where you're talking about life, mm-hmm. It's so much more different than when I'm on a Zoom call with somebody and we're on videos on, because everybody does video, right? There's no fear about that anymore. I remember when I couldn't convince anybody to get on camera. Now everybody's on camera. And it's great because, you know, I'm in my home talking to someone in their home, mm-hmm. and I'm able to make a much more intimate connection while keeping the professionals in there, of course, and build deeper relationships. And I can meet with them more frequently because I'm not having travel time, you know, getting in the way of all that.
Exactly. And money is always a very personal topic. And everyone right. has their thoughts and baggage when it comes to discussing money and having that conversation, sometimes in a stark office or in a coffee shop where you're trying to talk softly and hush and maybe not be as honest as you would when you're, like you said, in your own home and it's quiet and you feel safe and it's a comfortable place. And those are tough conversations to have sometime. And so if you get rid of all those other obstacles, it can soften that conversation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it also makes it more convenient. I loved your point about the going into a stuffy office. I can't tell you how many businesses tell me that they walk into their CPA's office and they're just like, this person doesn't know me. They're not the same type of person as me. And accountants are realizing that too and starting to adjust their style. But I also hear about people taking technology even a step further when just staying with the topic of having the meetings with the clients, right? Mm-hmm. You can have these meetings, you can set them up, you can even record them. And if the client's not able to make it because they're dealing with an employee issue or a customer issue or some kind of fire drill with the business, you can just send it to them and they can listen to it, you know, in the car when they're driving to the next, you know, appointment or after they dinner, put the kids to bed. And, you know, if you've done the work to set up the relationship so that everybody's on the same page about what's going to be talked about, mm-hmm. Then you're just continuing that on. You're navigating it from there. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think is really cool too, especially for small businesses, because a lot of, you know, most small businesses are not publicly traded, so they don't have revenue targets they have to meet. They don't mm-hmm. have growth targets they have to meet, right? So you know, what I think the most powerful thing that an accountant can do with their business client is develop a plan and have some actions that will help achieve some goals. Set the goals, set the targets. But then as you're talking, you know, every month, or sometimes clients want to meet even more frequently, like once a week or every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. as you're having those conversations, you know, there's one or two paths that you can go down. Let's say you're having a sensitive conversation, like you mentioned, about, hey, you're not hitting this revenue target, what's getting in the way? And then, you know, here's, I'm having this XYZ issue. Then the accountant can go, okay, let me go tap my network and see if there's some solutions that we can put mm-hmm. into place that will help you get there, or let's adjust the goals mm-hmm. and rework the plan to get to the right goal that makes mm-hmm. sense if there's some kind of extraneous environmental factor. Mm-hmm. And you can balance all that stuff as you go, instead of just leaving it up to the client to just fumble along and hope that they're succeeding in their financial health. And there's so many nuances and undertones to all that, right? That you may not realize. You may think you're moving along and growing and profitable, and then realize, oh, I didn't account for this or this. Mm-hmm. And now your financial health is not as great as you thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of give like a real world example to some of what we've been talking about, in QuickBooks, there's a report called Percent of Income, Profit and Loss. And it's already there. It's not something you have to customize or anything. And whether you're a business owner or whether you're an accountant, this is a great report to share, because I just used it yesterday on a call. And I had a client and we looked at For the first, 9 months of 2021, we pulled up this percent of income P&L. And of course, I was able to say, look, for every $100 you sell in your product, you're spending X dollars on cost of goods sold and X dollars on payroll and X on advertising. And then at the end, you have $15 left over for every $100 sale as your net profit. And breaking it down that way really seems to hit home for a business owner, because they can kind of understand and they can think about that every day, that for every dollar, $100, $1,000 sale, I've got 45% going to cost of goods sold, I've got 30% going to payroll, 5% going to advertising, and they can compare against industry standards, they can compare against goals, and it just seems to be those are actionable items that they can work on immediately if they like or don't like what the reports tell them. And something that simple that Intuit's created, back even just a few years ago, that would take, you'd have to be an Excel expert and you would be manipulating the data to get that information. And now it's one click and it's there. So a 30-second action can create a 45-minute conversation with a client that's extremely helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that point. And we're, we're building and all that stuff. And so, I don't want to brag on Intuit,
That's okay. That's why we brought you here.
I'm a little biased. I have been with them for 20 years. So I do love the company and what we're doing. But one of the things that I think is really great that we're focused on is bringing the data to the forefront. So, we have millions. I heard the number recently, it was 3.7 million QBO users globally.
Wow.
That's a massive amount. That's just QuickBooks Online.
Yeah.
That doesn't even count desktop. I think we're up to 7 or 8 million there. But what we're doing, especially in the online product, because we have the technology better enables it, is you get all the benefits, of course, of, being able to work anywhere and that kind of thing. But also it allows us to provide more value because we can constantly make enhancements, which can frustrate people. I have a friend that runs an HVAC business, and she calls me up every time we change something in the QBO interface, and she's like, what did you do?
I understood it changed.
exactly. And I totally get that frustration. But what I always have to remind her is, look, the enhancements are there's a learning curve to get over that. And I understand that's inconvenient, but what you need to keep in mind is that we're making the investment so that your life will be smoother in the long run. And we're making it so that we can serve you up with data insights. And sometimes that means we have to switch up, the way that you use the product in order for that to be conducive to the experience. And so basically what I'm getting at is, like, one of the first things that we've already implemented is industry benchmarking. Which I think you mentioned in that report.
Right.
And that's so immensely powerful. Like, where else can you go find out what other businesses like you are spending in various categories of advertising or cost of goods sold or, whatever that may look like, and so that you can understand, here's how I'm comparing. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be like everybody else. It's one input as you think about it. So if you're looking at, you're like, why am I not more profitable? And you look at advertising, you're spending 3x your comparable businesses. You have some direction. Go look at your advertising strategy and make some adjustments. And by the way, your accountant can probably offer you some pretty good direction and insights on that.
You mentioned you've been with Intuit, 20 years or more, which that's quite an achievement in this day and age too. So I'm sure you've seen all kinds of evolution and changes in the last 20 years, but how has, the training program changed, and what kind of training does Intuit offer both to someone like me and to business owners?
Right. Well, it's funny because it's evolved and it hasn't.
Okay.
I think we were getting better and better at leveraging, at thinking about the training content that we deliver and then how we deliver it. You know, And our profession, it's so unique in our profession too, because it's funny, you mentioned, you know, 20 years seems like a long time. And the gray in my beard certainly shows it if I were on camera. But in the profession, I'm the young guy. I'm talking to partners who were, you know, 50, 60 years old, been doing this for 50, 60 years or whatever. Maybe 40 years, double the amount of time
sure.
I have. And the way that they operate and the way that their culture they're coming from is a different place. And so how we meet their needs has had to, you know, adjust. But as an example, you know, the big draw for a lot of tax and accounting pros is these coming to conferences, coming to these face-to-face events. And when the pandemic hit, that all came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, fortunately, as I mentioned before, you know, if you're always proactively thinking and trying out innovative ways to get the work that you're, get the outcome that you're trying to drive for, if you're already doing that coming into a crisis like that, you're way better positioned. And fortunately, me and my team have been doing online events for some time. And what we found to be particularly successful was virtual conferences. When we would hold webinars, we still hold webinars throughout the year, and, you know, give people their ongoing continuing education. But I haven't really seen like a massive migration or uptick in our number of people that attend webinars. But I can tell you, like, when I used to do a tour, we would tour around 5 cities and then we'd do a little virtual conference for tax season readiness for the tax industry specspecifically. We would see about 1,000 people come to our face-to-face events and a few thousand come to our virtual conferences. When the pandemic hit, we couldn't go on the road anymore. Our season readiness conference last year, a virtual conference, now we did it twice. Between the two conferences, there were 15,000 people in attendance.
Wow.
So I've seen record numbers of people taking advantage of setting aside a day or two and just saying, I'm going to immerse myself in education for these 2 days and use that, you know, for the next few months to go, you know, innovate in my practice. And mm-hmm. we're seeing people take advantage of that channel, but they want it in sort of this event format where there's more than just sitting on yet another call, listening to somebody talk for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. That gets boring. And then the other thing that I've seen is a significantly increased demand for advisory content. You know, we've been talking about it for a long time. We've been saying how important it is, but with the things that happened through the pandemic, there was two major trends that emerged or sort of got a spotlight shown on them, which was help me get funding to stay afloat, PPP mm-hmm. loans, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then there was, oh my God, we're being locked down and I can't do business anymore. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I, and then on top of it all, you know, basically what accountants reported to me was their entire client base was impacted by a minimum of 30% devastation mm-hmm. in some way, right? Either mm-hmm. they lost 30% of revenue or they lost 30% of clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so navigating that, helping clients pivot their businesses and think about how to achieve the results in different ways is something that accountants actually stepped up to the table and did really well.
Right. I do think our industry came out stronger from this pandemic because of having to pivot as well in our own industry, as well as our clients. Pivot was the word of 2020, I think.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
What exactly would you say is the difference between a webinar and a virtual conference?
Right. So a webinar is like, think of it like signing up for a Zoom meeting, right? You register and say, I'm going to come learn about this topic, right? It's important to me, or it's going to help me, you know, learn about some new thing that I need to be able to do or whatever. It's a, you know, 1, maybe 2 hour kind of a training class. Usually it's a one way, you know, somebody's talking, or maybe there's a panel discussion talking about a topic or showing you how to do something. You know, we also have product training where we're literally, here's how you do this and the product and that and this.
Mm-hmm.
A virtual conference is a much bigger event. It's sort of like a face-to-face conference, you know, think like Comic-Con or whatever, but not not Comic-Con, like a, I'm thinking like a tech conference, like the, there's a big tech conference that happens in Vegas every year. I can't, the name of it is escaping me, but think of that in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And of course that makes it very, very different. There's still plenty of training that's involved. There's a whole day's worth of sessions, but then there's games that you can play in there. And there's the whole environment, like ours, is completely gamified, so that you go 10 sessions, you go download some materials, maybe do some tweeting about the conference, and visit all the booths and make some connections with people on the conference. You get these badges that earn you a spot on the leaderboard. And then the people that get to the top of the leaderboard get entered into a raffle for a free iPad. Mm-hmm. And so it just sort of makes it, it's like a webinar on, it's like four or five webinars on steroids, with a much more cohesive, fun, interactive environment where you have the opportunity to better, you know, like you could choose your own adventure. You can go to a session, you can learn from speakers, or you can go visit a networking lounge that's this sort of chat room, if you will, and talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And there's probably going to be experts in that as well. So it's just a more fun, robust type of a way to get education, especially, you know, if it's just education, you know, you're going to have like tax season readiness, where we cover a lot of tax law. Right. You know, right. It's not the funnest topic in the world, but we try to make it fun.
Can you share, is there a resource page, a website or something where people can find out about these virtual conferences and webinars? Are there any coming up?
As a matter of fact, we're working on our next season readiness conference. It's going to be happening late November, early January. But the audience for that is definitely tax and accounting professionals. Mm-hmm. But to equip everybody to help clients through the season and think differently about how we have those conversations, right? Because there's still the compliance work that has to get done. We still got to file tax returns.
Right.
But that shouldn't be the focus of the relationship. The focus should be, okay, yeah, here's your tax return. But by the way, when I was doing that, there's a few tax advantages that you're not taking advantage of. Here's some things to consider implementing, and here's what you'll get for that, right? You'll get a $10,000 credit next year if you do this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, coming back to that, yeah, all of our training is available on proconnect.intuit.com/training.
Okay.
And so you'll see our webinars out there. We have video content with the virtual conferences you can access. And then we're launching a podcast as well at the end of the month. So that'll appear on that page as well when we're ready.
Will that podcast be Intuit Accountants, or do you have a formal name yet for it?
Yeah, it's going to be called Account Trends.
Okay. So
Accountrends.
Gotcha.
Merging the words together.
We'll be sure to look out for that also.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to have you on one day.
Ah, I'd love to join.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I do feel like, the accounting field, I admit, you know, can sometimes be dry, but all this advisory service and the interaction and the implementation of goals and direction, it makes it terribly exciting. So the more you can learn about what these software programs can do to help, you know, yourself or someone else achieve their goals, that's what makes it fun and interesting.
You are singing my song, Melissa. I could not agree with you more. You know, I could not be more excited about the future ahead of us as a global economy, with accountants stepping up and doing what they're doing, and businesses realizing that their accountants are there as a much bigger resource than they may have never before. And the focus of, oh, my accountant does my taxes and my books, and getting away from that, we're positioning ourselves to drive significant growth for so millions and millions of people who are you know, doing what they love, and adding this financial health element to it by connecting accountants and businesses together in this advisory, you know, services model and structure. I mean, I can't wait to see where we are in 5 years and the impact that accountants can have and the businesses that they work with can have, it's going to be exponential. It's insanely exciting. And I love that we're getting away from the stigma of, you know, stuffy white, you know, collar shirt CPAs carrying a briefcase around with their green visor and the adding machine, right?
That's right. Our blue suits and our brown shoes. And yeah.
Right.
And I think too, just, I always kind of like to bring it back to some examples for the business owners to hear, like, in the last few years, it's been exciting. I've had a client that's been a restaurant open a second location. I mean, that was fabulous, all by just really tweaking and understanding their cash flow. I've had a daycare center go from paying horrendous amount in rent for a large facility to be able to purchase land and build their own big facility and not be, you know, throwing money down that rent. I've had the beauty salon industry go from just having, you know, maybe a few stations to expanding and being able to offer more services and have more stations within their storefront, or have brick and mortars now expand to be e-commerce. Those are like examples of what the numbers can do for business owners.
I love that you brought up the restaurant one example as well, because I saw that also and I was blown away. I have a few friends that have reported to me that, you know, they're thriving. They pivoted into, you know, the DoorDashes and the you know, Grubhubs and all that. They've leveraged the e-commerce. They're doing well there. They've got that figured out, especially if they were already doing that stuff before. Those businesses did even better. But even if they leaned into it, you know, heavy, but also curbside pickup and all that stuff, to where they're doing that so well, they're actually more efficient than they were before.
Right.
And then they're opening more locations. And I'm thinking to myself, the restaurant industry was probably the hardest hit during the pandemic. Many restaurants closed their doors because they just couldn't do it because they weren't there. They didn't have any kind of a buffer that was just, They were keeping their business alive, and that was kind of it. And for some people, that's fine, you know. But when a crisis comes, that's going to be devastating. But if you're working with an accountant, you can at least make sure that you're prepped for a crisis. And better yet, you're prepared for a crisis to lean into it and do better. Because there are absolutely businesses within the industries that had, you know, the worst revenue hits and you know, the worst struggles, especially in the beginning, that actually did really, really well.
And not to kind of use the fear tactics for accounting, but as you become more seasoned in our professions, it's interesting that you almost see like every 10 years, you know, everything's cyclical. And so we've seen this pandemic, which, you know, really shook our global economy to the core. But before that, 10 years ago, what, we had the recession, 2008, 2009, that affected, you know, various industries and individuals. And of course, before that, we had 9/11, which was, you know, kind of altering for many. And so it's almost like every 8 to 10 years, we do kind of seem to have some shifts in our economical way of looking at things and impact. And so I don't want people to be like, okay, well, maybe we're starting to get over the hurdle of this pandemic. You know, things will, you know, that was our once in every 100-year thing. But I always say, but we have to be diligent and continue analyzing and growing, but also, you know, watching at, okay, In a few years' time, if something like this hits again or something else, am I going to be prepared and ready?
It's funny. I just recently did a presentation, but we're going to do it in other places too with one of our data comms people and an outside economist. And the outside economist brought that point up several times of like, this happens every 8 to 10 years. And you said it just right, just like her, 8 to 10 years was her words. You know, there'll be more. There's going to be another crisis.
So I try not to be fear mongering, but I also say be prepared. Finding that balance of you know, acting for today and for the future.
Well, and you know what else, Melissa, too, is, you know, I would advise people to think beyond national or global crises, forget pandemic or whether it's Great Recession or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's also like, what happens if you are, you know, your main HVAC tech and you have to have back surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you're out for weeks and weeks. And what's that? What's the impact that's going to have on your business? So crisis can come in small personal forms too, or you just lose one employee. If you have a business with four employees in it and you lose one employee, that's 25% of your workforce.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? And so you've got to be thinking contingency planning, but also you've got to create the buffer. You've got to create enough buffer. And that kind of ties me into like the whole, you mentioned it early in the podcast, how people think about money and financial health and how that's such a personal thing. And my advice would be take the emotion out of money. Don't attach emotion and money together. Money is the thing that creates options, and your emotion is what you invest your energy into to then have that financial outcome. And so when you can decouple that, then work with your accountant to objectively look at your financial health and use that advice to position your business in such a way that when something comes along, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it comes along, you've got enough padding so that you're not closing your doors and you will get through it. And then, you know, be sure that you're always looking at how can I do this? How can I make a better mousetrap? How can I do this more innovatively? And that's going to position you to navigate any crises better in the future. Just like those people that were using cloud products already didn't have to go through this massive shift. It was just, oh, okay, we'll just start using this more now.
Perfect. Perfect wrap-up summary. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
It's my pleasure and honor to be here, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
And lastly, I want to share my appreciation to Intuit Accountant for sponsoring this podcast. They offer resources across several social channels, including Instagram, Intuit Accountants, as well as their website. And Jason, I believe you're on Twitter, are you not?
I am, and on LinkedIn. I would love to get new connections.
Did I leave out any other resources?
I mean, you can look for me on Facebook, but it's kind of more personal out there, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And as always, anyone can email or DM me at Numbers in Tech with any feedback and questions. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers in Tech podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers in Tech, or email info@numbersintech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.